Support this podcast via our Patreon and get more writerly goodness. Visit patreon.com/nanocast to join up.
Welcome to NaNoWriMo Every Month. My name is J. Daniel Sawyer. I'm the author of some 20 books, 34 short stories, and numerous articles and other things, and I am your guide on this journey to use NaNoWriMo to level up to professional output levels. Welcome to The Questions, Episode 66. And welcome to a new recording block on a very, very windy day. Today, Tristan says, I basically reached a point where all my ideas I wanted to move forward on, I just can't get enthusiasm for. I delved too deeply into literary criticism, and I don't just want to write stories, but try to make something at least a bit literary. I was wondering if there is anything I could do to turn that into something actionable and motivating rather than deterring, or to shut it off and learn to enjoy to make stories that are just stories. Tristan, you have no idea the depth to which I understand this. I, wanting to be a writer, went in initially to get a literary studies degree, figuring that, as everyone told me, there was no money in writing, so I would need to have a sensible job. So I figured if I could be an English teacher, I would be able to learn about writing and learn about stories, and it would help me be a good writer. What I found was the opposite. Once you get past Foucault in the history of literary criticism, the enterprise is an almost entirely destructive one. Now, there are critics out there who are important contributors to social conversation and whatnot, and particularly when they're historians of literature and things like that. But by and large, the entire enterprise of deconstruction and the attempts to assign literary merit are attempts to legitimize a classist disdain for the working-class popular literature of the time. This has always been going on, especially since the late 19th century. But even back when the printing press was invented, the major fear was that the hoi polloi would learn to read and they would be corruptible by all the strange ideas they would encounter because they did not have the education and the erudition to filter the good ideas from the bad, and who knows what kind of havoc that might wreak. And the rhetoric has been largely the same, whether you're talking about social movements against certain types of literature, such as the moral panic about comic books in the 50s and 60s, or censorship movements in the early 20th century in response to the Pulp Fiction era starting to come online, or the terrible moral censure against the Stratemeyer Syndicate glorifying adventure as something legitimate and worth enjoying to the impressionable minds of young readers who should be basking themselves in the classics and learning the ennobling virtuous lessons that ancient literature had to teach us. And literary criticism has its roots in this same impulse to sort the wheat from the chaff, the ennobling literature from the worthless dreck that is merely entertainment. And in order for this thinking to sustain itself, it has to invent artificial definitions about what art is and what's worthy of enjoyment and that sort of thing. And it forms a set of rarefied tastes that masquerade as being meritorious ethical and aesthetic judgments. They're not. They're statements of taste, and they're statements of convention, which is why literary fiction has become its own genre. Literary fiction is fiction that is written to the set of tastes that are cultivated and admired by literature scholars. But if you look back in history, and you look back at the books that are well-remembered and still read, not just the books that are lionized in the canon, but books that are well-remembered and still read, what you'll find is that today's great literature of the past is yesterday's bullshit pop crap. It's the stuff that's written for the masses, for pennies a word, which is why that joke in Star Trek IV about Jacqueline Suzanne being the great literary giant of the 20th century is so funny, because it is the bestsellers that have the best chance of going on to become the well-remembered classics that form the tastes of future audiences and inspire writers in future generations. all of what you learned in literature class in terms of the analysis and the criteria and whatnot, all of it is simply a matter of taste. It doesn't have any intellectual rigor or merit to it. And I say this as someone who spent years and years studying literary theory with the aim towards getting a bachelor's and then a PhD in literature to teach it. And about 6 years into this course of study was when I hit a wall. I had a course where I would apply all the analytical tools I'd been learning to use, and I had to read 6 Pulitzer Prize-winning books in a semester and write an extensive paper analyzing and comparing them. And as I got through the reading, I noticed that the stuff that's winning the literary awards is the stuff that's shit. There's not a lot of story. There's a lot of politics. There's a lot of posturing. There's a lot of language games, and I'm still a complete sucker for language games. But there is nothing in any of these books that's going to survive for any reason other than someone assigns it in the school classroom. These books are crap. By any standards outside of literary scholarship, these books are absolute shit. And I'm not going to name names right now because that's not the point. And not all literary fiction is absolute shit, but the sorts of stuff that tends to grab headlines frequently is. That was a very hard realization, and it hit me in a backwards way as a young scholar come writer. I read this stuff, and I thought, these are the best books in the world. The kind of stuff that I like and that I want to write never has a chance. It's not going to reflect the correct ideology. I'm going to get pilloried and picked apart and character assassinated in public if I attain any marginal degree of notoriety, and the things that I'm concerned with and that I care about are concerns that are too big for literature. Literature as a genre, literature is concerned with the small details of relationships and power dynamics in everyday life. Frankly, I don't care about that shit. My central concerns as a student of history that bleed into all my work is the interface between the private life and the large swings of human history and progress, the intersection of science and technology with the way people think and view the world and how that affects their relationships and what have you. And there's no room for any of that in the genre of literary fiction, particularly not as it existed in the late 20th century. And I realized that I had no prayer as a writer. There was never going to be an Oprah Book Club moment for me, and so I should just give up. And I did. I gave up, and I went into screenwriting and doing independent film and writing technical articles, because I still loved to write. And then occasionally, when I couldn't contain it, a story would escape from my consciousness anyway, and I started building up short stories. But that course of study cost me 10 years off my writing life. I mean, I still wrote, but it cost me 10 years off my career as a novelist. So, I understand. I really do. For me, the thing that pulled me out was, A, learning what literary studies really was and what the historic roots of the discipline were, which is why I led with that. And then learning about the true roots of literature that is considered meritorious and artistic, and how all of it, was once the popular literature. Yesterday's popular stories are tomorrow's great literature. So if you're wanting to commit literature, you need to sink deep into stories and just tell stories. You're an educated, intelligent guy. We've corresponded before, so I know this about you. The things that you value, the things that you're interested in, they will naturally flow into your stories, and the more rich your intellectual and emotional life is, the richer your fiction will be, because all of that which is you will flow into your stories without you even trying. What you have to do is learn to trust the process and learn to shut your writing office door on all of that shit that you learned in your literature programs. None of that deconstruction methodology will avail you in the slightest as a writer. The only thing it will do is get in your way. So deliberately turn that off, or educate yourself out of it. Literary studies is the kind of social phenomenon that meets Edward de Bono's definition of a myth. Edward de Bono defined a myth this way.
A myth is a fixed way of looking at the world which cannot be destroyed because, looked at through the myth, all evidence supports the myth.
In other words, the paradigm around literary studies works exactly the same way as the paradigm around conspiracy theories and other all-encompassing totalitarian narratives. It's a kind of religion in the pejorative sense, and educating yourself out of that, for me, that was the only way to get free of it, was educating myself out of it. If you have the mental fortitude to simply turn your back on it and concentrate on the stories, you're actually doing better than me, but by all means, please do it. You'll save yourself gobs of time. In the end, it's all going to come back to the stories you tell. The desire to write great literature is rooted in the desire to do something meaningful and important, and to make a contribution to the civilization and the culture that you live in, whether it's to make people think, or to fill people with delight, or to challenge deeply held beliefs, or whatever it is. Great literature does these things to us. But here's the thing. All fiction does these things to us. Great literature is that fiction which survives time, because there's something about the way it's written that happens to catch something essential about human experience and human nature in it that makes it relatable across the generations. It's very difficult, if not impossible, to do that on purpose. And however, it does happen all the time by accident, as a byproduct of simply writing well and telling stories with integrity and craftsmanship and a lot of heart. So tell your stories. You are a fantastically intelligent person, and you would be a great addition to the cultural conversation, whether your books last a generation or 15 generations. We'll be glad to have you, because you're going to make the field more interesting. And frankly, that goes for all the rest of you listening, too. I just happen to know Tristan personally a little bit due to past correspondence. I hope that helps. Thank you for listening and for the question. And I'll see you tomorrow. NaNoWriMo Every Month is written and presented by J. Daniel Sawyer and produced by Artistic Whispers Productions. Visit our website at NaNoWriMoEveryMonth.com and leave a tip in the tip jar or join the Patreon to support this podcast. NaNoWriMo Every Month is copyright 2016 by J. Daniel Sawyer and Artistic Whispers Productions and is released under a Creative Commons Non-Commercial Attribution No Derivatives License.